So welcome to week two of our brand new sermon series that we have entitled, This Is Us. And this is a series that we are focused on unpacking our brand new mission, vision, and values document. And if you're new to New City, if you're joining us online, checking us out online, we just want you to know that we feel like we're in a new season, a new chapter. There's even been a phrase that's been used called a restart, where we're thinking through our mission and our vision and our values as a church and the way that we are called to bless the world. And in this season, we are all about talking about this sermon series, This Is Us, and we start with talking about mission. Discovering our mission, not just as a church community, but us individually. New City's mission statement that we have just rolled out in February says this: New City exists to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. It's our mission. This is why we're here. But when we talk about leaning into our mission as a community, as a church body, it's not just about that, but it's also about us wrestling with what we are called to individually. And we said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. The Bible paints an incredible picture of you and I being on mission for God. When God birthed us, when we were formed in our mother's wombs, we had a dream, God had a dream for our lives that it was missional, right? There's something that we are called to, that we have to do, that we have to be about. It's a mission. And we've been called to this mission, and our goal this month is to explore what that means in this series. And so today we're talking about the word listening. I love the video that we showed the kids. I'm not sure that the kids love the video, but I wanted to show it because I love it. It's an old video, but it's such a great and interesting example of the way that we don't listen very well in the world, and we'll talk more about that today. We're not just talking about listening in general, but when we talk about being missional people, discovering our mission, we understand that listening and loving people, of being about the grace of Jesus to help restore this world more like it was meant to be, a place without hunger, without poverty, without loneliness, without hopelessness, without addiction. That's what this whole blessing idea, where it comes from. And we want to get as many people involved in this opportunity as we can. It's not just about New City, it's about New City inviting others into the journey. So the important value here is that we see ourselves as sent people. That is part of the culture that we are building, that we are a sent people. And in that, what we're talking about this month is five missional practices. Five missional practices centered around the word bless. And last week we started this. We talked about the word bless last week. We said we have been blessed to be a blessing. We talked about in Genesis when Abraham was blessed, he was blessed to be a blessing to the world. And with that then, we started with the B, where it talks about begin with prayer. We talked about the importance of praying for every situation daily. I challenge you to take this week to pray daily that God would give you an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. How did it go? Think about your week. Were you able to bless someone? Were you able to pray for others? That is the challenge we have as we follow Christ. How do you want to be a blessing to the world even today? And now we now lean into the L, the second letter in our bless, and it is this word, listen. And the phrase is this: to bless the world, to bless the people God brings our way, we must be good at listening. We must be good at listening. And I actually think that in this entire missional strategy that we're going to talk about this month, this may be one of the most difficult for us to engage in. And we'll explain why. Now, here's a story of what listening looks like in the life of Jesus. And it's going to be on the screen. I want to talk about today Luke chapter 18, we'll start with verse 35 through 40. And it says this: Now, when Jesus was coming close to Jericho, a blind man sat begging beside the road. The man heard the crowd walking by and asking what was happening. So some people told him that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by. And so the blind man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And the people who were going along with Jesus told the man to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and told some people to bring the blind man over to him. Now let's just pause for a moment before we read the rest of the story, because I don't want us to miss something that I think is incredibly important in this narrative. Jesus wasn't, for as far as we know, Jesus wasn't necessarily walking around that day to heal someone. He was on his way to the city of Jericho, which was one of the last stops on the way to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover feast. And tons of people were also on their way to this same thing. They were on their way to Jerusalem to participate in the same Passover feast. There was loads of people everywhere. So Jericho was incredibly busy at this time of year. Just picture the streets of Jericho packed with people, maybe like the busiest day at the state fair, right? Where it is so crowded walking down the street that you're avoiding other people, you're trying to get down. There's a lull of noise that just surrounds all the crowds. It was packed, just like maybe some of the days that you've experienced at the state fair. And amidst all those people, there's this blind man who's sitting on the side of the road, couldn't see, and apparently he heard that Jesus was coming his way. And so the blind man cries out. He says, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And despite the noise of the crowd, Jesus hears this one guy. And I picture Jesus being able to hear this guy's voice, particularly similar to how a mother can hear her toddler's voice in a room full of other toddlers, right? Like there's an identification there, a familial love almost that Jesus hears. Here's this one man crying out to him that he's passing by in the road. And all the people traveling with Jesus tell this person to be quiet, but Jesus hears him and acknowledges him. And Jesus asks a question in Luke 18, verses 40 through 42. It's on the screen. It says this. Jesus asks this man, "What do you want me to do for you?" What an interesting question. "Lord, I want to see," he answers. And Jesus replies, "Look and you will see. Your eyes are healed because of your faith." Now, we all knew this was coming, right? The blind man can't see, calls out to Jesus, and Jesus heals him. The end, right? Like that's the narrative, that's the story, but not so fast. What I want us all to notice is the question that Jesus asks the blind man. He says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And it kind of seems like a silly question if you really think about it. It's not that Jesus couldn't tell that this man was blind. He's sitting off to the side of the road. Jesus knows the man would love to see. This is a debilitating thing that he's dealing with. Of course the man wants to see. But Jesus wants to know what the man thinks he needs. And I think it's important for us to learn from Jesus in this moment. I believe what Jesus is showing us was a person who didn't assume he knew what people needed. He displayed to us this fundamental truth that we have a chance to also participate like Jesus did, where he listened to people. He took the time to ask the question, and then he listened. Now, we all know listening is very important, right? We talk about this all the time in our lives. If you have kids, you probably talk about this all the time. Even in your families, you talk about this all the time. Listening is very important. It's important in our close personal relationships. We've all probably had a situation where we weren't very good listeners, right? You know, maybe you even heard the phrase, "You've never listened to me," right? But listening is also super important when it comes to living out our Jesus mission. And Jesus says, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And even though today we're not going to unpack that phrase all the way in this sermon, we need to be listening for what people say if we did ask them that. And the truth is, too often we think that people on mission for Jesus just go around doing nice, kind things for people whenever they can. And there is some truth to that, some beauty to that. But before that, in most instances, what we need to do is listen. Now, there's a problem of not listening. We live in a world today, and you know this by the world that you live in, the culture that you live in, the different people that you engage with. We live in a world today that hardly anybody really listens to one another. Most people are just interested in what they have to say. There's a saying that the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. And isn't that true? that even when we're not talking, a lot of times we're not necessarily thinking about what the other person is saying to us. We're queuing up what we want to say next. That's probably the opposite of listening. Now, I struggle with this, right? Too many times I'm not really listening to people, and maybe you've experienced that too, where we're just queuing up what we want to say next in any sort of conversation, work-related or family-related or even in our sort of debate culture that we live in. How many of you, by a show of hands, this is a vulnerable moment, right, have ever been in a conversation where it felt like the other person wasn't listening to you? Go ahead and just raise your hand. A lot of people raising your hand, where you know, like, the lights are on, but they're not really engaged in me, right? A lot of the wives looked over at their husbands for some reasons just a minute ago. I won't talk about that today. But there's this, like, engagement where they're not really listening to us. We've all been in these conversations where the other person was nodding their head saying, uh-huh, but they weren't really listening to what we were saying. If we want to discover and embrace the mission that God has on our lives, we have to become so intentional about the way that we listen to people, because it's part of the blessing strategy. Listening is crucial to the Jesus mission. I mentioned this missiologist before, a gentleman by the name of Michael Frost, right? Some of you remember me talking about him. He's a church leader. He is an author. He's a preacher. He's a blogger. He's also a friend of the covenant. He's spoken at different covenant events that we've had. And he tells this story about a missionary group. So a missionary group that Michael Frost tells a story about that went to India. And they went there to do some amazing things to build the kingdom of God and to bless people. They went to this poor, remote village. And this group showed up with all sorts of supplies and programs. They had skilled workers with them. And they were ready to literally build up and transform this village with all sorts of things that they could do, health and vitality. And so they went to the people in this village, which actually turned out to be a slum. And in India, if you know anything about India, if you've ever been there, a slum is a very different category than a village. Okay, but they went to the people there and they said, hey, what is it that we what is it that you want us to do for you? Which is a very Jesus-centered question. They said, we could build you a medical clinic and take care of the hurting and sick. We could build you a school so you could teach your people to grow intellectually out of their poverty-stricken life. We could build you a church so you could build faithful followers to Christ. So what is it that you want us to do? And the people of the village said this: we need a mailbox. We need a mailbox. And the missionary said, what? A mailbox? Can you give us, what do you mean? We could give you a school or a church. We could build you a hospital, and all you want is a mailbox? And the people said, yep, that's what we really need most, is a mailbox. You see, in India, if you live in a slum, you don't have a zip code. You don't have a mailbox, which means you don't even exist on the map. There's no identity. Your own government doesn't even acknowledge you. And this slum of people, this community of people that lived in the slum, had no access to any of the governmental resources. And so what they really needed most was to be recognized, to have an identity even in their own country. And so the missionaries who asked this question would have not have known that unless they listened to these people. And so they embarked on this journey of trying to help them get a mailbox, and it was no small task. It took the missionaries 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get this village registered, but once they did, things began to change. How about another illustration? The guy who invented the stethoscope. The stethoscope, he was noted for saying to other doctors who used it, if you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients, because they're telling you how to heal them. He didn't want doctors to just listen to hearts and lungs with his invention. He wanted to make sure that doctors listened to their patients. And that is a magnificent principle for us. We must listen to people. Listen to our community. Listen to our workplaces. Listen to our families. Listen to our classmates, for those of you who are students. Listen to the hurts and the needs. How about this? Listen for the wounds that people carry. These are the people that God has placed in our lives. We are responsible to listen to them. We must listen for what they really need. Now, when I say listen to people, I'm not talking about listening. I'm not talking about just listening to the words coming out of their mouth. I'm actually meaning listen for where their location is. What is their location? And it's kind of like real estate, right? We all know that the three words of buying a piece of property are what? Location, location, a little louder. Location, right? Location, 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 right? It's not just true of real estate. It's also true of people. There's a doctor, Dr. John Gottman, is a leading researcher in why marriages succeed or fail, okay? And one of the things that Gottman has discovered is that unhappily married couples, so hear that, unhappy married couples think they know where their spouse is, they think they know what their spouse is most looking forward to, what they're most excited about, and they think they know what their spouse is most worried or concerned about, which is actually what I mean about location, but they actually don't. Happily married couples do know these things. In a matter of speaking, happily married couples know what their spouse's emotional and personal location really is. And happily married people don't just have this intuitive sixth sense of these things. They actually listen to their spouse for their location. They actually ask the question, what are you excited about? What are you concerned about? And then they listen. And that leads to a healthy marriage. In fact, some of us, this is something that we need to start doing on a regular basis. I did this with my kids this week, just thinking about this sermon. I would just kind of slip in kind of subtly, hey, Samantha, what are you excited about for this week? Ethan, what are you concerned about? Ethan, he doesn't know. Where's my truck? You know, that's what he's concerned about. Samantha, a little bit weightier things, and Josiah and Caleb, I didn't even dare. But sometimes those are important questions for us to ask. What are you excited about? What are you concerned about? We said last week, begin every day by asking God to bless someone. What a great question to ask them. What are you excited about? How can we be praying for you? And what are you concerned about? How can I be praying for you there? The point here is to really know someone. We need to know on a regular basis what they're most excited about and what they're most concerned about. I urge anybody who is in an important relationship to start asking the other person about their location. When it comes to discovering our mission in our neighborhoods, in our family, in our workplaces, in our schools, we must listen for the location of people. We can't just assume that we know what to do for people that we come in contact with. We need to know their location, what makes them excited, what matters to them most, what challenges are they facing, what needs do they have, what wounds are they carrying. There's a story that's told from the very early years of Christianity about a monk who lived all alone out in the desert, praying and meditating on scripture. And a couple of times a year, this monk would come back into the local town or village for supplies. And people would get so excited when he would come out of the desert into the village. So excited that they wanted to get time with him. They wanted to spend time with him, listening to him, hearing about his experiences, whatever. And they would literally line up outside the hut that he was staying in for hours, waiting their turn to talk to him. He's a local wise man, I guess. And one man in this village was really curious about why someone would have to say that this, why would somebody stand in this line for 1 or 2 hours just to go and talk to this monk? He had to know what was so important about this monk that everybody wanted to talk to him. And so he decided to give it a try. And so sure enough, he gets in the line and he waits for hours. And finally, it's his turn. And he walks into the hut and he sits down next to the monk. And he sits there, and what he discovered about the monk is that the monk didn't have anything profound to say at all. In fact, the monk would sit there and listen to the people that came and sat with him. He just listened. I will say this. People in our world desperately need to be heard. And when we establish a blessing missional practice of listening, we get the opportunity to hear them. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we listening? We cannot bless the world without listening to people, but we also need to listen for their location. And here's what I mean by that. If we want to listen to our community or our city, we need to start asking, everybody hear this, we need to start asking our community leaders, our neighbors, the people in our lives, the people in Edina and beyond, what their location is. What do they need? How can we bless them? I mentioned this last week, that I'm working to build a team of people that would be interested in, let's just call it a serve team, okay? Not a flashy name, okay? But a serve team, a group of three or four people from New City who can start to ask the question of our community leaders, what do we need in Edina? This is where God has placed us. What can we do to be a blessing to our community? By the way, I mentioned that last week. Nobody talked to me this week about it, okay? This is not a guilt trip. I promise. It's not it. But are you maybe called to join this team to pray and to join three or four others to start emailing and making some phone calls to different community leaders and say, what does Edina need in this moment? And how can we be a blessing, a help to those needs? That's what I believe God has called us to in this new season. We bring that information back to our community. We pray together about what God is leading us to. Now, I need to say this. I'm not interested in burning everybody out here. I'm not asking us to join with five different super full-time missional opportunities. But what are the one or two things that we are uniquely wired to get after in Edina? That where we could be a blessing to other people. There are needs in this community that we can meet. And so if you want to be a part of that team, hear this invitation. Send me an email. Talk to me after church. Let me know that you're interested, and let's figure out who can get on this team that can do some research and bring it back to the church. This is a missional practice for us. The places we live and work are constantly speaking, and we will hear them if we just listen. Whether it's a neighborhood association, whether it's a school board, the Chamber of Commerce, the city council. Why not? Let's go sit in the city council meetings and listen where the needs are. Let's show up to a meeting and just listen for what God would have us hear in those places. Daily blessing someone begins with prayer. The next is so important that we listen to people and the places where we live and work, and let's pray for that daily. God, how do you want me to be a blessing for you in the world today? And help me to listen. Now, last week, I gave you a daily challenge. I'm going to give you a daily challenge for this week as well. Remember, we said every day during this season, I would like you to every morning wake up and choose one of these missional practices to engage in, okay? Now you have two to choose from. You can begin the day with prayer. Or, secondly, you can look for active ways to listen to people, to find ways to be a blessing. But let me just say this. We are called, I need you to hear this, to be a countercultural people. Jesus' followers, by definition, do not belong to this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. You know this. You've taught on this. You understand this. So then, let me just say this with love in my heart. Be aware of the echo chambers we find ourselves in that block us from listening to others. It may be, I'm not sure, you'll have to discern this with God, that God is calling you to sit with people that you have very little in common with, but you are still called to be a blessing to them. There is a barrier right now that exists between the church and the world, and our job is to leap that barrier with the Holy Spirit's lead and be a blessing to people. So where are those places in your life every day that you are called to be a listener? It's a humble calling, right? We live in a world where everybody debates. When I went to college, I took an apologetics class, which is beautiful, but I learned to debate theology. I'm not sure that that's winning anybody over to Jesus in today's world. Where can we be a blessing to this world that is starving for Jesus, that is starving for hope, that is starving for an identity that comes from the love of God? We're celebrating Easter in just a few weeks. I can't believe it's already here. It feels like Christmas just happened. People need to hear the good news of the resurrected Christ. And it starts with us being a blessing to them. We begin with prayer and we listen with care. This is not about us listening so that we can do good deeds and just do nice things for people. It's about being blessed to be a blessing for the world. We are following a very long biblical history of a people who are blessed to be a blessing. Those are the shoes that we get to fill. This is about the Jesus mission. It's about how we reach and restore people and communities and have this mission reproduced in the lives of others. It is all about inspiring people to find and follow Jesus. I love that. Jesus heard this one man's cry in a huge crowd of people. And every single day, each of us comes into contact with people who maybe nobody cares about or nobody listens to. But you and I are called to be different. We are called to care and to listen. May we truly be transformed into people who have the heart of Christ and people through whom God changes lives in the world. What a privilege. People are always listening for an answer to the question, what is it you want me to do for you? I pray this for us as a church, and I pray this for us individually. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your story and your narrative, the way that your Son Jesus is such an incredible example to us. Thank you, God, for the listening that has happened in our lives. And I'm talking about the people who listen to us, the people who took time to hear our needs and our hurts, the people who took time to hear what was heavy on our hearts. God, thank you that in your amazing love for humanity, you call us to be a blessing for the world. And so, Lord, last week we even asked, we said, Lord, who are the two or three people that you put in our lives that we're called to pray for? And I want to pray that you would remind us of those two people right now. And now, help us to see and answer the question how we can listen to them, how we can engage them and hear what their location is, and then be a blessing to them as we figure that out with you. God, would you also bless us in this place as now we come to the table and we celebrate Holy Communion, this beautiful celebration of your commitment of love to us. God, we are so thankful to be together in community, and there's no greater feast that we can participate than coming to the table even right now. So Lord, we love you and we give you this word. I pray that it would instruct our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and that we would follow you. Jesus, we love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. You know what, I want to just take a minute, and Katie, if you could just play a little bit of background for us. Can we just take a minute in quiet before I set the table up and before we come forward? And let's just pray over those people that are in our lives, just silently, that we may be named as people in our lives that God has called us to. Just take 60 seconds in quiet, and let's pray right now for those people and prepare our hearts for communion.